What is the point of running if walking gets you there? Why should I even consider starting to run when I'm already exercising regularly? And then, how could I make it feel less uncomfortable? Let's dig in.
Welcome to Scale to Fit, Fit in Your 50s. Just show up, make a plan, feel stronger than you can. Small steps lead to victory, you're rewriting history. Scale to fit, fit in your 50s with Marco Lindgren. Come on and join us.
I have never liked running, and jogging even less. But after 3 years of regular walking, I felt that maybe I could try something else. So I sort of accidentally broke my devotion to not running and started training for it. Yes, indeed. Running, as I expected, was painful and uncomfortable. But at the same time, it was fun and rewarding. But then again, why does running feel so bad? Especially when you already love being active. Maybe you're a devoted walker like me. You've got your routes, your rhythm, your favorite time of day. Or maybe you cycle. You can spin for an hour and feel absolutely great. I know, I've done that. And then you try running, and within 2 minutes or less, you're gasping, your legs feel like concrete, and you're wondering what on earth is going on. Sound familiar? Here's the thing. Nothing is wrong with you. Running is simply a different kind of hard. And today, I'm going to unpack exactly why it feels that way, and more importantly, how to get past it. Especially if you're a grown-up. And here as well applies what I like to say, don't do nothing, do something and scale it back. So you're a walker or a cyclist. You're fit. You move your body regularly and feel good doing it. Why on earth does jogging for a minute or two leave you breathless? The answer comes down to something called specificity. Your body is incredibly good at adapting to the exact demands you place on it. Walking and cycling are both lower impact, rhythmically smooth activities. Running is none of those things, at least not at first. When you run, you are essentially hopping from one foot to the other. Every single step, you are landing with a force of roughly twice your body weight. So from 1.5 to 2.5 times. Your muscles, tendons and joints are absorbing impact they have never experienced before. No matter how fit you are in other ways. Your cardiovascular system is also working in a completely different gear. Running at even a slow pace elevates your heart rate significantly more than walking at the same distance. And here's what makes this especially humbling for active people. You expect it to feel easy because you are already in good shape. When it doesn't, when you are huffing and puffing while jogging slower than you usually walk, it can feel demoralizing, almost insulting. But that feeling, it is completely normal. It is not a sign that you are failing. It is a sign that your body is encountering a new stimulus. And that, believe it or not, is actually exciting because your body is about to adapt in some remarkable ways.
Yes!
Now, if you are a grown-up, there are some physiological realities worth acknowledging. Nothing scary though. Understanding what's happening in your body helps you work with it rather than against it. When you grow up, a few things shift. Your VO2 max, essentially your body's ability to process and use oxygen during exercise, naturally declines, roughly 10% per decade. Your maximum heart rate drops. You begin to lose fast-twitched muscle fibers, which are the ones responsible for power and speed. And your recovery time after exertion increases, meaning you get sore and you stay sore for longer. You may also experience reduced flexibility and slightly less joint resilience, particularly in the knees and hips. For women, hormonal changes associated with menopause can contribute to joint aches and tissue sensitivity, which can make early running feel even more uncomfortable. The crucial part is, however, that none of this means you can't run. It means you have to approach running more thoughtfully than a 20-something would. And frankly, that's not a disadvantage. Because while younger runners often learn through painful trial and error, You have something they don't. You have the wisdom to listen to your body, respect its signals, and play the long game. Research consistently shows that adults who start running after 50 can absolutely build endurance, improve cardiovascular fitness, and even increase bone density. The timeline might be a little bit longer and the approach a little more gradual, but the rewards are just as real. My reason for starting to train for running was simply that I wanted to have a bit more demanding walks. I wanted to get my heart rate up and get closer to the same feeling that initially got me walking. Even though the first runs or sprints were unpleasant, to say the least, I kept going, but many people don't. So what to do and what not to do? The single most common mistake, without question, is starting too fast. You feel motivated, you go out and run at the pace that your cardiovascular system simply isn't ready to sustain. Within minutes, the heart rate spikes, you can't catch your breath, and the whole experience is awful. The fix is obvious. Slow down. Run shorter sprints and with slower speed. At this point, it doesn't matter if you're running or, I guess in this case, jogging slower than you walk. What matters is that you keep on moving and keep it sustainable. Combining walking and running sprints is not a failure or a mistake. The run-walk method, where you alternate between running intervals and brisk walking, is not a beginner's compromise. It is a legitimate evidence-based strategy that coaches use with athletes of all levels. Jeff Galloway, an Olympian and running coach who has been refining this method for decades, has shown that run-walk intervals allow runners to cover longer distances with less fatigue and dramatically lower injury risk. For any grown-up just starting out, this approach is not training wheels, it is the way.
Yes!
Don't do too much too soon. Your cardiovascular system usually adapts to running relatively quickly, within a few weeks. You will probably notice you are breathing easier. But your tendons, ligaments, and bones adapt much more slowly. This mismatch is exactly where overuse injuries like shin splints, runner's knee, and Achilles problems come from. The rule here is simple. Never increase your weekly running volume by more than about 10% from 1 week to the next, and never run on consecutive days when you are just starting out. And don't forget strength training. You may say that running is running, why would you need to lift weights or do calisthenics? Because as grown-ups, we naturally lose muscle mass through a process called sarcopenia. Weak glutes, hips, and core muscles force your knees and ankles to compensate in ways they are not designed for, and that's a recipe for injury. Even two short strength sessions per week, think like squats, lunges, glute bridges, and calf raises, can make a profound difference in how stable and comfortable running feels. So I felt that just walking didn't quite give me what I wanted. I wanted a higher heart rate and more calorie consumption. I had had this feeling on my walks for a while, and then I stumbled upon a 5K training plan from a sports watch and heart rate monitor maker, Polar. I thought, why not? I will try it out. And just like that, I broke my devotion to not running. The Polar training plan covers 12 weeks, 3 running sessions and 2 other sessions per week. After 3 months, you should be able to run 5 kilometers. The running training starts with 3 rounds of 1 minute jogging and 6 minutes of walking, gradually moving to 8 minutes of jogging and 2 minutes of walking in between. After which, the jogging time grows to 45 minutes until at the end of the 12th week comes the whole 5 kilometer race. A couple of things didn't resonate with me. First, the progression felt a bit too steep. From 0 to 5 kilometers in 3 months just didn't sound right. The plan talks about jogging, which to me sounds like an unnecessary extension of suffering. I feel that if I'm training for running, I run, I don't jog. So I wanted a second opinion and asked an AI to create a training plan for me. The AI plan was also for 12 weeks, starting with 6 1-minute runs and 2 minutes of walking in the first week, with the running time increasing by 1 minute each week and the walking time and total exercise time staying about the same. After the 12 weeks, the goal was to run for half an hour. This already sounded more achievable, only the starting proportions of running and walking felt more like being backwards. For my own actual training program, I took a little bit from here and a little bit from there. First, I wanted a much slower progression, and second, I wanted to run, not jog. I started with a 10-minute warm-up walk, then 6 rounds of running for 1 minute, followed by 5 minutes of walking, and to cool down, yet another 10-minute walk. I stayed on this plan for a month, 3 times a week, after which I did 5 rounds of running for a minute and a half and walking for 5 minutes in between. I kept this plan for longer since it also included the winter break. For slush, darkness and cold, I resorted to just walking. The phase I'm on now is to run for 2 minutes and walk for 5 minutes for 5 rounds. I will move to the next phase when the current amount of running starts to feel more comfortable than uncomfortable and when my speed no longer improves.
Hey, just a quick note before we continue with the show. If this episode resonates with you, please share it with someone who might need to hear it. And now, back to the show.
The Good to Know Corner.
So, you have been walking for years, like me. Maybe you've got your route down, your favorite playlist ready, and your morning ritual locked in. And now you're wondering, like me, should I start running? Is it actually worth it? Well, let's start with the big picture. Both walking and running are fantastic for you. Personally, I love walking, but there are some real differences worth knowing about, especially when it comes to your heart, your weight, your bones, and even your mood. Running puts a bigger demand on your cardiovascular system than walking does. More intensity means your heart has to work harder, and over time that makes it stronger and more efficient. For example, high-intensity interval training in the context of running, which means sprinting for short bursts, improves heart fitness more than moderate-intensity walking. Now, the interesting part is that when large groups of people were studied over many years, researchers found that walking and running produced similar reductions in heart disease risk, as long as the total energy burned was the same. So it's not that running is magic, it's just more efficient. You get a bigger cardiovascular stimulus in less time. And then what about calories and weight? This one is pretty straightforward. Running burns roughly up to 60 more calories per kilometer than walking. That adds up as fast as your kilometers. So, if you are short on time and weight management is a goal, running gives you more bang for your minutes. That said, at the same time, walking can be sustained for much longer without wearing your body out. Walk far enough, long enough, and you can absolutely match the calories burn of a shorter run. So neither one has a monopoly on weight loss. It really comes down to what you will actually stick with. Then, what about getting fitter? What about improving your aerobic capacity and your endurance? Both activities improve your VO2 max, which is essentially a measure of how efficiently your body uses oxygen during exercise, a key marker of overall fitness. Studies have shown that 6 months of regular jogging versus regular walking produced similar improvements in aerobic capacity. Running may get you there faster, but walking absolutely gets you there. Consistency, as always, beats intensity.
Yes!
There is one area where running has a clear edge, though, and that is bone health. Because running is a higher impact activity, it sends stronger signals to your body to build and reinforce bone density. That's significant, especially since it reduces the risk of osteoporosis and fractures over time. Walking does support bone health too, and adding some weight, like in rucking, can amplify those benefits. But purely in terms of bone and connective tissue, strengthening stimulus, running wins this round. On the flip side, however, running also carries a higher risk of injury. Shin splints, stress fractures, knee pain, these are all more common in runners, especially those who ramp up too fast. Walking is much more forgiving on your joints, which makes it the smart starting point for a lot of people. And then, mental health and well-being benefit from walking and running. They both reduce stress, ease anxiety, and lower the risk of depression. While running can produce more pronounced runner's high, walking offers similar mental benefit with a smaller, more sustainable effort. The rhythmic meditative quality of putting one foot in front of the other outside in nature, that works whether you are running or strolling. Running offers more cardiovascular and metabolic benefits per minute of exercise. It is the more efficient workout. But walking is accessible to virtually everyone. It carries far less injury risk and can be done longer and more frequently. For most people, the sweet spot is actually a combination of both, which is exactly why programs like run-walk intervals are so effective, particularly for beginners and those returning to exercise after a break. Pretty much like me. The best exercise at the end of the day is the one you will actually do. And if you have been a dedicated walker for years, you already have an incredible foundation to build on. Whether you stay on the walking path or start adding a little run into the mix, you are already ahead of most people.
The Good to Know Corner.
After all this talk about unpleasantness, suffering, and hardship, let's take a look at the good stuff. There is a lot of it, but it might take a while for it to kick in. Many starting runners say that a turning point is somewhere between weeks 4 and 8. Something feels shifting. The breathing gets easier. The legs stop fighting back. And something unexpected, a quiet, almost meditative quality of the run starts to emerge. Something that wasn't there before. That is not an accident. Running, like walking, has a rhythmic, repetitive quality that activates the same calming pathways in the brain. Also, the runner's high gets easier to achieve once your fitness improves and running becomes easier. Beyond the neurochemistry, there are some practical things you can do to make your training more enjoyable from day one. Run somewhere beautiful. Trail running on soft paths in parks or in green spaces is easier on your joints than running on pavement, and it also makes the whole experience more engaging and wholesome. Being in nature makes the whole effort feel more worthwhile. You can also use music, podcasts, or audiobooks. Many runners find that engaging their mind helps distract them from physical discomfort in the early weeks. Personally, I like to listen to my surroundings and think my own thoughts. But if you find something you only listen to when you run, you will suddenly start looking forward to it. Having a running partner or joining a local running group is a powerful tool for building consistency. It creates accountability, it's social, and it makes the time pass faster. Many communities have running groups specifically for beginners or for grown-ups. If you want to boost your motivation, sign up for a local 5K run. Not to race, but to have a goal. Having a date on the calendar, even months away, gives your training a direction and meaning. And crossing that finish line for the first time at whatever pace is a feeling that stays with you. And most importantly, celebrate every win. Ran for 3 consecutive minutes without stopping, that is a win. Went out on a cold morning when you didn't feel like it, that's a huge win, which I probably would never be able to achieve. Progress in running is real and measurable, and noticing it keeps you coming back. There are some practical things to keep in mind as you get started on your journey towards becoming a runner. Get yourself proper shoes. Get those shoes properly fitted. Don't just grab whatever looks good online. Go to a specialty running store, have them analyze your gait, and try on several pairs. This is the single best investment you can make, and your feet will thank you for years. Warm up before every run. A 5 to 10 minute brisk walk does the job. And remember to cool down as well, adding some gentle stretching. You will feel a lot better the next day. Repeat the week's program when needed. There's no race to finish the program. The goal is to build a habit you will keep for years. Strength training also helps a lot. On one or two of your rest days, doing simple bodyweight exercises will significantly protect your knees and hips. And stay hydrated. Drink more than you think you need to. Our sense of thirst is always lagging a bit behind, so you may already be dehydrated before you feel thirsty. Drink water before and after every run, and on longer efforts, consider an electrolyte drink. and pay attention to your protein intake. Research suggests that adults over 40 may need more protein per meal for muscle repair and recovery than younger athletes, around 30 to 40 grams per serving. If running leaves you unusually sore for days, your nutrition is worth reviewing. And finally, and I can't say this enough, listen to your body. There's a difference between the mild fatigue of effort and the sharp, nagging signals of injury. The old push through the pain mentality is simply not appropriate for anybody. One extra rest day prevents weeks of forced downtime. Missing one run to protect the sore knee is always the right call, especially since recovery is an essential part of training. Your muscles may adapt like before, but your tendons, ligaments, and joints need more time. 3 days of training a week is plenty. Resist the urge to add more. On the rest days, you can do some simple bodyweight exercises such as squats, lunges, or calf raises to keep your knees and hips in shape. And remember to see your doctor for a checkup before starting, especially if you have any cardiovascular history. Running doesn't necessarily feel very natural at first when you start. It challenges your body in new ways that walking and cycling simply don't. And that's especially true for grown-ups. But the discomfort is temporary. It's the feeling of your body being asked to grow and reach new levels, and it's one of the most honest feelings there is.
Weekly challenge.
Why don't you take your first gentle running exercise to see how it feels? Give it time, give it structure, give it patience. And sooner than you think, you'll head out for a run, not because you feel like you should, but because you genuinely want to. That's the whole game. And remember what I like to say, don't do nothing, do something and scale it back.
Welcome to Scale to Fit, Fit in Your 50s.
And I am Marco Lindgren. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If this episode resonated with you, please share it with someone who might need to hear it. All sounds are made by me except the jingle that was made by Gemini. Send us your feedback via email to feedback@scale2.fit or leave a rating at podchaser.com. Check show notes at scale2.fit. All the links are there.
Scale to Fit!